Estonia is one of three Baltic states that sit between Russia and Western Europe on the coast of a shallow sea that's calm enough to invite installation of wind turbines.
You can work if the wave height is lower than 1.5 meters. And this area, the wave heights which are higher than 1.5 meters are quite rare.
That's Martin Cruz, CEO of 4 Energy, a company that has already built enough onshore wind farms to power 110,000 homes and has 10 times as many under construction or on the drawing board. It's not that Estonia lacks other ways to produce electricity or heat its homes. Just across the river from Russia, in Estonia's far northeast, sits the largest shale operation in the world, removing oil and gas to supply 85% of the nation's energy. There's enough rock here to power this small country for 100 years. What's more, half of Estonia is covered in forests, so Timo Datar, director of energy at the Ministry of Economic Affairs, says there's plenty of wood to burn.
All in all, I can say that Estonia is the least import-dependent country in all over EU.
But it does still import some Russian gas. And Rene Tamas, director of the Estonian Renewable Energy Association, says that's an uncomfortable situation on cold winter nights.
Until recently, almost 75% of the heat was produced from Russian gas. Russia has proven that it is willing to disrupt energy supplies in case it doesn't achieve its political goals. It's not a very nice perspective for harsh climates like in Estonia when your gas supply is disrupted and you are overly reliant on your neighbor.
And after decades of occupation by the Soviet Union, Estonia would like nothing better than to cut all ties. These school kids learn about Estonia's singing revolution, which began in 1987. Rather than risk further violence and repression, citizens demanded their freedom from the USSR in song. They gathered to chant and joined with neighbors in Lithuania and Latvia to form a chain of a million people protesting Soviet occupation. In the early 90s, as the Soviet Union fell apart, Russian troops left without bloodshed. Today, Estonia is a member of the European Union, an organization that's very much worried about climate change, and Energy Director Datar says the pressure is on to ditch fossil fuels and go green.
Obviously, oil shale is not the ultimate solution for Estonia, but while the renewable energy technologies are getting cheaper and it's developing, then it serves as a good bridge.
In the area around Estonia's shale oil plants, you can believe that. Huge mounds of light brown ash are left after oil and gas are extracted from the rock. But trees and grasses have started growing on those mini mountains, attracting birds and small animals that appear to live in harmony with 17 giant wind turbines that the oil company planted there. A 90-mile trip by ferry across the relatively calm, relatively shallow Baltic Sea, Estonia hopes to install 150 more turbines. Engineers say the spot, just off the island of Hioma, about 225 kilometers east of Sweden and 120 kilometers south of Finland, is a great place for a wind park. George Linkoff is mayor of one of 5 cities on the island. He admits many of Hioma's 10,000 residents oppose the idea of putting turbines offshore.
Basically, they're going to change their mind first time when they see something on their bank account.
That's right. Island residents will profit from the enterprise proposed. They can buy up to 20% of the bonds to be sold for construction, bonds with a 15% rate of return. And the company that operates the wind park, 4 Energy, will set up a fund to benefit the community, donating a portion of its earnings to whatever local residents decide to do with the money. Tuulikki Kesonen, general manager of the Estonian Wind Power Association, thinks that will turn the tide of public opinion.
They will feel that this is part of the community, that they need it to have a better life. And it is already functioning like this in other communities where they have turbines in Estonia.
But surveying the proposed construction site from Hiiumaa's new harbor, Kaidi Numerga, head of the local development department, says some will continue to oppose the plan.
It's natural that people are afraid of the new things, especially places like this island where everything has been very, very traditional. And we have had some initiatives before for onshore development, and they have not gone quite right. So people are afraid.
They fear noise and destruction of pristine views. But developers say their turbines will be so far out that people will barely see them, and they definitely won't hear them. Then there are ecological concerns. Huma is a haven for 250 species of birds. Some are just passing through, while others spend at least part of the year living on marshes that cover about 7% of the island. There are cormorants and black-headed gulls, sedge warblers, herring gulls, mute swans, coots, and rare birds like the black stork and white-tailed eagle. After extensive study, the developer's environmental consultant, Henrik Pukin, is convinced the park can be built without harming the birds.
We did overflight during different seasons to have a comprehensive picture. I believe that both things are possible, to have the wind park there and also places for birds to rest and to eat.
By putting the turbines in a location far from observed flight paths and by positioning the blades in a certain way, he says 4Energy can minimize the risk to birds, a claim supported by the offshore wind experience in Germany, Denmark, and the UK, which leaves just one more impediment to the start of construction: where to find the money. In that respect, Estonia is blessed twice by the European Union. The EU is expected to support construction of innovative bases for the turbines, and if Estonia exceeds EU targets for production of green energy, it would be able to sell credits to other European countries that are not able to meet their goals. Planners in Estonia hope the Huma Wind Park will be up and running by 2020. I'm Sandy Hausman.